If you don't mind, I hope you don't, I would like to emphasize a little bit about rehabilitation training, and we'll talk rehabilitation in a little bit. But rehabilitation training, when I went as a student to Louisiana Center at age 50, I needed to learn to use the white cane. I had one, and I could kind of use it, but I remember one time I had a big trial, and all the senior attorneys were going to come and watch me at that trial, because I was kind of, you know, trying to make it into the land of the big boys, and so they came over to watch this trial, and I won the trial, and everybody was happy, slapping me on the back, and I wanted it to be a memorable day for me, for them, for my wife. I got a brand new suit, I got a new pair of shoes, I had a new tie on, went to trial and won the trial, and man, I was ready to make my mark. I said, guys, look, hey, everybody, this is a happy day, I'm going to buy lunch for everybody. So we're going to lunch over here. So we went to lunch. After lunch, we got up. I hit the front door. I had my cane. I wasn't using it right.
Uh-oh.
The sun hit whatever vision I had left. I went totally blind and fell down 6 concrete steps.
Ouch!
It hurt.
Yeah.
Now, do you think those senior attorneys remember that day? Oh, you bet they do. But not for the reason that I hoped.
Yeah. Yeah.
They remember poor, incapable Ron. I'm glad I'm not blind. Well, right then, I didn't quite much feel like being blind either. So I had a decision to make. Do I change it, or do I just leave it alone? And I went and I did something about it. And whether the sun's in my eyes, whether I have sleep shades on or not, I use a white cane and I get from here to there. Okay. I want to tell you, though, that training is not having somebody do it for you.
Right.
All too often, teachers want to say, to make you feel successful, here, let me help you with that. Teachers do need to teach us specific things like the way to hold the cane, but not necessarily how to travel. We're adults, and we bring with us all of life's experiences that got us to this point. Just because we go blind doesn't mean we don't have a clue what a street is. We still know what a street is. It doesn't mean that we don't know what grass is. We still know what grass is. So I was there as a student, and my rehabilitation O&M instructor, his name was Roland Allen, it's Pam Allen's husband.
Yeah.
Roland Allen said, Ron, today I want you to go Mississippi Street and turn around and come back. I want you to stay on the same side of the road. You'll have to cross a couple of streets, you know, there's the railroad tracks, got to cross them.
Yep.
Well, I was telling him. He said, tell me how you're going to do it. I said, well, I'll go out here and turn right, and I'll cross the little alleyway, and then I'll cross the railroad tracks, and then I'll cross the city park, and, you know, I'll keep going along past the city park, and then I'll cross that one little street, and then I'll be in Mississippi, and I'll turn around and reverse and come back. He said, yeah, I think that's a good plan. Go for it. And I'm under sleep shades, and I left, and I turned right, and I walked across the alley, and I walked across the railroad tracks. And no incident with the railroad tracks. It's not a train story.
God.
And then I found the big, wide sidewalk going along the city park. And I thought, well, just to make sure I'm going to go in a straight line, I started shorelining with the grass.
Ooh.
In other words, I would feel where the grass is, back on the concrete. Uh-oh. Feel where the grass is, back on the concrete. So I knew where I was. I was just kind of following that, doing that, walking along the sidewalk. Just walking along. Doing my thing. And finally, I've gone quite a little ways, and I heard a voice. The voice said, so Ron, how you doing?
Uh-oh.
It was my O&M instructor. And I said, well, I'm fine. And he said, well, okay, tell me where you are. He didn't tell me where I was. He asked me, tell me where you are. Or tell me, you know, it's a question.
Where are you?
Yeah. And I said, well, I'm passing the city park. And he said, well, how long have you been walking past the city park? And I thought, you know, it does seem like I've been walking too long to still be crossing by the city park. Well, I'm probably just about to the end, I said to him. And he said, okay, well, where's Trenton Street? And that's the big main street in front of the building where we have the center. And I said, well, it's just right there to my left. Now, what direction are you going? And I said, well, due north. He said, okay. Why don't you just listen and start using your other senses and tell me if you think you're right? Well, I started listening. And Trenton Street wasn't to my left. In fact, I could hear Trenton Street way, way over there. Somehow, I had lost the Trenton Street, and I'm supposed to follow Trenton Street all the way to Mississippi and then back. Where had Trenton Street gone? Well, it didn't go anyplace, but it sure wasn't back where I was. And I started feeling the sun on my face. Well, wait a minute. If the sun is on my face, because O&M is first thing in the morning.
Right.
If the sun is in my face, that means I'm going east.
Oops.
I'm not supposed to be going east. I'm supposed to be going north. And I said, Roland, I don't have a clue where I am.
Uh-oh.
And he said, okay. Well, I'll see you later.
Nice.
And he left. Now, what I found out is that by following the sidewalk and the grass, what I didn't realize is that the sidewalk had a Y in it, and I followed that arcing Y.
Don't know what that is, but okay.
And as it turned to the right, I didn't realize it, and I just kept following the grass and the sidewalk until I was clear in the middle of this long park going east.
Yeah.
Well, what, you know, would I have learned anything if Roland had just stopped me at the beginning and said, no, don't turn that way, you got to stay over here by the curb?
No.
Would I have learned anything?
No.
Absolutely I would have.
Not really.
I would have learned that it doesn't matter if I do it right, sighted people will always fix it for me. Sighted people will always help me. No, don't go. No, that, not that way, this way. But was I learning? Was I gaining my own self-confidence?
Yes.
So here's what ended up happening. I figured, you know, I better go back to where I can hear Trent a little closer. Because I was supposed to be right on the curb, the sidewalk of Trenton. So I just followed the sidewalk back, and Trenton started getting louder and louder and louder and louder. And vroom, vroom, vroom. And I knew the traffic was right there.
Yep.
And so, okay, I got that one handled. Now, I know Trenton goes due north, so I just turned 90 degrees, and I knew I was going due north because the sun was shining on my right
shoulder,
my right face, my right cheek. And so then I knew I was back where I knew where I was. So if Roland had stopped me, I would have missed all of that. Sometimes our O&M instructors want to say, oh, you did so well today. Oh, watch out for the stairs.
Yeah.
Oh, you did so great today. Oh, watch out. There's a hose across the sidewalk.
Yeah.
Oh, watch out. There's a chair. Because they don't understand that we're still using experiences. Experience, how many times have we heard this? Experience is the best teacher. And oftentimes, if the rehabilitation is not done well, we start being ingrained with a little less confidence than we otherwise could have. I know everybody can't go this weekend to the Louisiana Center for the Blind.
Oh, why not?
But everybody by this weekend can start in your own mind. Start doing things a little bit more independently. Get yourselves a cane that's a little bit longer. You can go to our website and get one free. We give away free white canes to anybody who wants them. We give you a brand new cane every 6 months if you want it. You can call on the telephone or you can go to the website. Get a free white cane. But get a cane that's light and get a cane that is long, because if it reaches out there in front of you a little bit, you're going to have the confidence you need to know when that cane drops off, I know I'm not going to go over that step, that curve. I'm going to stop first because my cane got there two full strides ahead of me. Sometimes they want us to use a little bitty cane that comes up to our belly button or so, or our sternum or yeah. chest or whatever. Yeah. And that one is short enough that you have to hold your arm way out in front of you, which means your arm is fatiguing, and pretty soon it just gets heavy, and pretty soon it's down, your hand's down around your waist again, and pretty soon you've got a little tiny short cane. You come to a curb, you don't get enough information, you step off that curb without even realizing. So start using the techniques. Start watching confident, blind role models. I don't know if I dare. Patty, there's a Fred Schroeder story that I'd love to tell. I think I'm going to. Fred Schroeder was appointed as the commissioner of RSA. So he's the big enchilada down in Washington over all of the rehabilitation in the entire country. I think his budget 1 year was $2 billion. I mean, that's a big budget.
Right?
Fred Schroeder is a PhD. He's a very bright man. He was first blind O&M instructor. He broke down a lot of barriers, and he's just very, very good. And I had the opportunity to learn some white cane techniques from him as well. I was in Baltimore, and he said, "Come on, Ron, let's." And so he showed me some things, and I remember one thing he said. You know, don't get happy feet. I said, "Well, what do you mean by happy feet?" And he said, "I've noticed that when you are heading in a certain direction and you get to the corner, you start turning around and looking and noticing and, you know, just kind of keep in mind where your feet were so that you can keep heading in that direction." And sometimes I would head off in a weird direction because I was just happy feet. I didn't care where I was putting them. And that was a technique that has stayed with me. Now, it doesn't mean that you have to be rigid, but in your mind, it's just a technique that you start using. Okay, fine. So he started telling me a lot of techniques, and he said, "Okay, now Ron, we're about done, and I'm going to give you the final course here." He said, "Meet me downstairs in the morning at 8 o'clock." And I said, "Okay, fine." So I met him downstairs. We went outside. I have sleep shades on. He's totally blind. We went down and found a car, and he got in the front seat. I got in the back seat, and he said to me, "Lie down."
Oh.
I thought, it's weird.
Okay.
But I laid down in the back seat. And then he turned up the radio, you know, so that it was loud as can be. And he said to the driver, "Let's go." So the driver took off. The purpose of lying down was so that I couldn't keep track of where we were going. The purpose of the radio was so that I wouldn't necessarily hear how much traffic there was, or whether we sounded like a bridge, or sounded like a crossing, or, in other words, he wanted me to be thoroughly lost, and let me guarantee you, I was lost.
Oh, God.
I had zero clue where we were. And after about 10 or 12 minutes of driving around, 15 minutes, maybe 20 minutes, I didn't know how far we were from anything. He turned around and said, "Get out."
Oh my God.
So I got out, and this was going to be my drop route, which meant that we were now going to find our way back to the National Center for the Blind. And I thought this was going to be a fun challenge. I knew Fred could do it, and I wanted to learn from him how he did it. He said, "Okay, Ron, now I want you to start off and just tell me what you're thinking." So I took off down the sidewalk, came to a corner, I crossed the street, hit the corner right dead on, and turned to Fred and said, "How'd you like that crossing?" Fred said, "Good job." And I took 3 or 4 more steps, and I found what I think was a fire hydrant. "Hey, Fred, watch out, there's a fire hydrant." "Yeah, I got it, Ron. I'm fine." And then I hit what I think was a parking meter. And I reached over there, and sure enough, it was a parking meter. "Hey, Fred, watch out, there's a parking meter here." And he said, "Yeah, I got it, Ron." And he realized that I was using him as my deacon. In other words, he wouldn't let me step out into the traffic or go make a turn that I shouldn't have been turning because he was going to be with me and keep me safe. I was still having these safety issues, I guess. But after a while of talking to him, he kind of got that I was just going to keep talking to him the whole way and using his experience instead of mine. So he said, "Hey, Ron, you have a cell phone?" I said, "Well, yes, I do." He said, "Can I use it?" I said, "Sure." Pulled my cell phone out and gave it to him. And he dialed some numbers, and he said, "Yeah, this is Fred Schroeder. Have those people from Taiwan reached the National Center yet?" "Oh, they're there? Tell them I'll be there in just a little while." And he hung up. He said, "Ron, I have an appointment with some people that have just flown in from Taiwan, and they're trying to start some rehabilitation, and I'm going to try to go help them. So, listen, I'm going to leave you here, and I'll see you back at the National Center." Gulp. I don't have a clue where I am. But I was a big boy, and I heisted up my pants, and I decided, "Sure, okay, Fred, fine." And here I heard him clop, 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 clop. All of a sudden, I couldn't hear him anymore. So I started feebly using my cane, getting down the block, and trying to listen for the traffic and trying to feel the sun and trying to, was there any wind? And am I going to make it or not? Because this was a big city.
Yeah.
And it's a dangerous city. And I didn't know where I was. But I knew I had the skills and I knew Fred was still with me. Because he wouldn't just go off and leave me. So I realized that he wanted me to think I was good. So I crossed the street and said, "So, Fred, how'd you like that crossing?" "Fred? Oh, I see, Fred. You're not going to answer me because you want me to think you're there. Okay, you want me to think you're gone." So then I went on down, and I came, and I could hear some children playing off to the side. And I said, "Fred, I think that's a park. I can hear the kids playing. Can you hear them, Fred? Fred? Fred, can you hear those kids playing over there?" There was no Fred. And I thought, oh, I get it. He's still making me think he's not here. And I got a bright idea. I pulled out my cell phone. And I called the National Center. And I said, "Hello, is Dr. Fred Schroeder there?" And the voice said, "Yes, he walked in a few minutes ago." And I hung up.
Uh-oh.
He left me out here? Fred Schroeder had confidence in me. And I needed to have confidence in me. Fred made it back to the National Center in 15 minutes. About an hour and a half later, so did I. But can you imagine what I learned that day?
Yeah.
I learned that this stuff is possible, and you get better at it. Rehabilitation is very important. Very important. Everybody doesn't have the chance to go to Louisiana, but some of us do. And I strongly encourage you, try to cross that bridge. I was 50 years old. I had a law practice. I had a puppy in the backyard. I had a garden. I had a wife that loved me and 5 kids.
Wow.
You know, I had a church. I had neighbors. I can't just up and leave my life for 6 months, 6 to 8, 9 months. You see, the state agency said, "Oh, well, yeah, just we can teach you in 6 weeks. And Which is more inviting, 6 weeks or 9 months? Well, I'll tell you, I fell down enough concrete steps that I realized I wanted something different. I had to have something different. And where there's a will, there's a way. And I found a way to get to the Louisiana Center for the Blind. And that's where so many of my self-confidence experiences came from. That's why, if you haven't noticed, I have a supreme self-esteem. Not cocky, but I like myself. I'm maybe not the world's best traveler, but I can do it with confidence. You know what? I was 50 years old when I learned Braille. I still read very, very slowly.
That's okay.
But I use Braille every single day in my work. Whereas before, I couldn't read a word. I couldn't read a word on my computer. I couldn't read a word on the paper. And so I learned Braille. And I can make my own notes and make my own outlines. I use Braille. I put Braille in my calendar. I mean, Braille is what I use at work. I didn't learn it till I was 50. And older people, they have a hard time learning Braille, but they don't have a hard time learning O&M. Old people can learn O&M. It's just that elasticity that you need in the brain to learn literature. If you take a sighted man who has not had the opportunity to learn, he's been back in the hills somewhere, and for some reason he never learned to read, and you bring him into a school at 30 or 50 and teach him to read, he'll never be as good a reader as if he had started at age five.
Yeah.
It's just, it's proof. I mean, that's just fact.
I've heard that, but
how good would I be if I hadn't gone to Louisiana? Whether I'm a slow reader or not, at least I'm a reader. Rehabilitation in the state of Maine goes through John McMahon. John McMahon receives thousands and thousands of dollars. Now, I don't want to say that they're rolling in dough. We know they're not. But lots and lots of money that come from Washington, D.C. And those dollars have to be matched by state money. So the state of Maine puts up $1,000, and Washington, D.C. sends $4,000. So by spending $1,000, he gets $5,000. Okay? And that's just the way it works. It works that way all over America. What does he do with that money? Well, he sends part of it to the IRIS Network. He sends part of it to Catholic Charities. He makes contracts with people like Roger, who teach rehabilitation technology to people. He gives part of it to... In other words, he uses it the best way he can. And if you go to him and say, "Hey, John, I know you're the Mr. Big Shot of rehabilitation in the state of Maine." Not Big Shot, but he's a very nice man. But if you go to him and say, "I would like to go to Louisiana Center for the Blind," they'll say, "Well, you got to do that through your counselor." So you go back to your rehabilitation counselor and you say, "I'd like to go to the Rehabilitation Center for the Blind." "Well, I've never heard of it. You got to give me some information." "Oh, crap, they're going to make me do it. All right, well, I go get some information. I call Pam Allen. I email with her back and forth. I learn about the center and maybe even go visit the center. Because, you know, I can really get a sense of how big that swimming pool is. And if I'm really going to learn to swim. Because the shower that I'm in here in Maine is not quite teaching me to swim. You know, it's all allegory.
Question?
Allegorical there.
Question, please.
Okay.
This is Skip. Can we show cost effectiveness as far as training at the center versus training in Maine in the shorter periods, or Maine, for example, or others? Do we have evidence of that? Or
yes, we do. The Louisiana Center for the Blind has a 95% success rate. The state of Maine and most others are around 40, 50, sometimes 70. No one else is even close to 90, 95.
What defines success?
Being able to get into college and getting a job. Success can be going from a scared young woman to managing a home with children. It means independence, doing what one wants to do with life, having self-confidence and self-esteem. That's success. And we get that with good fundamental immersion training. Blindness training is a bit different than other kinds of rehabilitation training. So the rehabilitation counselor, as friendly or as nice as they are not going to send you to a training center out of state. They're just not going to do it. So if you turn around and say, well, thanks for listening, and go home, what is different? Not a lot. What you can do, though, is write a letter to your rehabilitation counselor and say, here's the information I've learned, and here's why I'd like to go. She'll probably still say no, and you write back and say, would you please forward this to John McMahon and see if he'll consider it? Well, she's not going to dare not do it now because you put a request in writing, and she's not going to just ignore it. So, yeah, she sends the file up to John and says, hey, this guy wants to go to Louisiana Center for the Blind. What's John McMahon going to do with it? No, I'm sorry, we don't have enough money. And besides that, we've got training here. And if you need to go somewhere, we'll send you to the Carroll Center in Massachusetts. They do fine, and it's cheaper for us, so we're not going to send you to Louisiana. All the right reasons. He says no. Does he hate us? No, he doesn't hate us. He's just got a limited budget. But if you write back to him and you say, John, I understand your budget issues, but I have investigated the Louisiana Center for the Blind, and I believe that that training will help me be able to get employed. What's the difference between somebody that's on benefits and somebody that is employed? There's a lot of differences. The person on benefits, things are tight, but you can make it. Even if you have a job, things are tight, but you can make it. Usually when you're on benefits, you're not paying taxes. With a job, you probably have to pay taxes. On benefits, you know, you might have a good attitude about your blindness, but you realize that you're really not contributing. And with a job, you are contributing. We all understand benefit programs are valuable. They help us. But we don't want to be there forever if there's something better for us that will make us feel happier and more independent and self-confidence with high self-esteem. We want to feel better about our own lives, our future, that there's hope in the future, that I can do more than what I'm doing now. And I told George this story at work. I used to kind of be ashamed that I, you know, because I'm a fiscal conservative and I don't like to use tax dollars to, you know, I want to lower taxes and not spend so much and smaller government and all that stuff. And yet the state of Utah was going to spend money on me in my case, in my rehabilitation case. I'm blind. They got me a computer with JAWS. Well, there's $1,700, $1,800 right there. They got me a printer because, you know, I was going to go to work in a lot. You know, you need a printer. And by the way, you fax a lot, so I got a fax machine. In other words, I got stuff so that I could start out working. And they paid a lot of money for my case. But here's the end of the story. After working for 1 year, the first year I worked after my rehabilitation, the first year after I worked, I paid more in taxes than they spent on me in rehabilitation. It's an investment in people. If we help blind people and they become a little more independent, self-confidence, and have high self-esteem, they can have jobs and they can pay taxes. And rehabilitation gets more money if you're on Social Security or SSDI or SSI. Your rehabilitation counselor is going to be thrilled because Social Security will pay them the benefits that you would have received for the next 5 years. And rehab gets it in their budget rather than in Social Security's budget. Why? Because it's an incentive to really help people get off benefits and start working. There's a lot of winners when rehabilitation works. And there's a real big loser when rehabilitation doesn't. Is rehabilitation the right thing at every single moment for every person?
No.
No. Walter, you're 80. Six. Holy smokes. I didn't know that.
Not quite.
Oh.
All right. But you know, there is a time and a place for everyone. And it doesn't mean it has to be Louisiana. But there is improvement that we can have in our individual lives. There really is. I remember... Am I doing all right, Patty?
3:44.
Right. 3:44?
Yes.
There was a man named Ray Martin. We have to be out of here at 4, so this has got to be fast. There was a man named Ray Martin in Utah. And I knew that I had to have some Braille. I was trying to practice law, and I couldn't read. So I called up the center, the blind center, and said, can you send me somebody that will teach me Braille? They sent me Ray Martin, who's totally blind, and I knew he was totally blind. Well, the first day he walked into my office and he taught me a little bit about Braille. I started learning. And then after the lesson, I walked him out and I said, now, Ray, here, there's stairs over there, but let's take the elevator. So we went down the elevator and, hey, Ray, I'll just walk out and show you what the bus stop is. And, you know, he thought that was weird, but I showed him what the bus stop is. So the next week he came to show me a little bit about Braille. And this time I, you know, afterwards I walked him out and I... And he said, Ron, why are you doing this? Why am I doing what? Why are you walking me clear down the block to the bus stop? Your office is a block and a half back. I said, I appreciate the company, but you're supposed to be at work. And I said, well, Ray, you know, I appreciate you coming to teach me Braille. And I just, you know, I've got some vision. I, you know, my vision hadn't totally gone by then. Oh, I've got some vision, and I can help you find the bus stop. He said, Ron, I've been finding the bus stop for the last 3 or 4 weeks at 8 to get to your office. I don't need your help. What do you believe about me? And I started thinking about that. Here, this is a confident, well-dressed, intelligent man coming from his office to mine to teach me Braille, and I'm worried that he's not going to be able to find his way back. It's like it happens to us all the time. Come on, buddy, I'll help you across the street.
Oh, yeah.
And they haul you across the street. Well, are they bad people? No. But in my mind, I'm thinking, how do they think I made it past the last street without them? But they're good people. They want to help. Nobody hates us. But sometimes we want more for ourselves. And so I had to realize, and I was president of the National Federation of the Blind of Utah. I knew all the literature. I knew what it meant to be blind. I was trying to change what it means to be blind. I thought it was respectable to be blind. But when it came to Ray Martin, I wanted to show him the bus stop. Because, of course, I had a little more vision. And I started realizing that I didn't get it. I was part of the public that didn't believe in blind people. I didn't believe in me. I didn't believe in him. And that was a big lesson for me. We as blind people have to really be careful or we start believing the same thing about us that the public does. We need to help educate them to have hope for our future. And we certainly need to educate ourselves and our families. It's a great time to be a blind guide because technology makes it possible for us to do so many things. It's been a long day, but it's also been a very, very short day in one sense. And I want so much to come back when more of you can do the talking. And we can sit down and start making plans of activities that we want to do. And, you know, you can do this without me. You don't have to have me here. But you start planning activities that will help move the movement along and follow Patty's vision around the corner. Hey, you know, I think next year we're going to have this, and so let's start preparing for it by doing this. This is a happening place up here. I'd say it, but I'm proud of it. And this was just a little Saturday afternoon get-together with Amy and Mark. So anyway, I hope I can come back. And it's very nice to see those of you who I know. And it's nice to meet the ones that I didn't. and I thank you very, very much.
Well, bless you too.
Hey, Ron.
Now, I think what I'm supposed to do is give it to Walter. Is that right?
Yes.
Walter, I'll turn it back to you.
Well, thank you, Ron, for each and every one of us, because having you here sort of puts things in perspective. And I'm very happy that people are still awake.
Nice.
And still ready. And I think that I'd like to give you a homework assignment, if you don't mind. If you do mind, you don't have to do it. I can't tell. But
whatever you say,
this
Walter.
Coming week, there's an opportunity that we have. It's a minor thing, but it may not be minor for somebody. The Senate is in the process of making some changes on training young children who are blind to learn Braille. And this is part of the educational package. Senator Bozeman and Senator Murray have a letter that they are circulating. And what I'm going to ask you to do is to call Senator Snow and Senator Collins. Now, you know how to do that?
Yes. No.
Simple. You call Washington. You can get the number, like anybody else. Call the Senate. Ask for their offices. And there'll be a very nice person who will answer the phone. And just say, I'd like Senator Snow or Collins to sign on to the Dear Colleague letter about teaching blind children Braille. And that's all you need to say. It's not a big deal. You don't need numbers or anything else, because this is just the beginning step for this bill that will be coming up to make some changes to the IDEA bill, which we all have heard about in the past. So it's a simple thing to do, but it's a thing to do. Can you do it?
Yep.
Yes.
Hey.
Okay.
You can call Director Assistance and get
today.
The number for the U.S. Capitol.
Yep.
And then just ask for Senator Snow, and they'll connect you. Or ask for Senator Collins, and they'll connect you.
Very easy. It's very simple.
Well, Senator Snow resigned, actually.
Matter of fact, I think everybody could do this. We are learning about legislation. It's a very important thing. Yep.
Well, again, it's a vehicle for collective action.
Be better. Yeah. Okay. Now, I'd like to also remind you that we have on the 19th of May our first at-large chapter conference call. And if you need to know the number again, just call me. Patty has plenty on her plate already, so don't need to do that. I'll be happy to give you that number again and talk to you about being there at that meeting. That's important to get our chapter off the ground. And we'll see if we can get a few more members before then, too. As far as Newsline is concerned, it's coming along, and we're going to keep on working with it. And I think we've covered everything for this. We're going to be back together in October, and we'll be seeing how things progress over the time in between. But we need more members, we need more people, we need more chances to get together, even in small groups, so that we can encourage each other. So I think that covers everything for today, and we'll be looking forward to moving on to the next project.